Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The ladies are really running a lot of hip hop right now. I'm seeing them putting out hits back to back, like the Glorillas. You got the Cardis, you know, you got the Nickies, and so many other ones. There's some dope rappers too. But it's only one thing that I see with them. I don't see that diversity. I don't see much consciousness coming from the ladies. It's mostly, you know, being with a lot of men, getting them for their paper. But I'm not really hearing any of those with consciousness. Now, do you think that is by design, that's what's being pushed?
Social engineering is serious, you know what I'm saying? And we have been social engineered into being buffoons, you know, being clowns, hoes, bitches, and gangsters. You know, if you think about Snoop, right? Snoop Dogg is the number one artist in the world. Mm-hmm. Been for a long time. You know why, right? Because he's a Crip.
Right.
You know, one of the known as blood in the world is Lil Wayne, because he's a blood, you know. Mm. And what they do is they promote that because they know that young people is going to be inspired by that. So every rapper, you know, they're going to scream their blood because they figure, you know, that's what Lil Wayne did. He's worth $300 million. So this is the process you got to play. You got to put tattoos on your face. You got to do the same. You know, you want to be a, you know, when Snoop was hot, everybody wanted to be a Crip, you know. Everybody was, you know, talking about Crip and Crip walking and stuff like that.
Yep.
Because these are the images that the record labels feed to our children. And these are, you know, some of the things that goes on in a specific neighborhood. But by the time Hollywood get it, it gets into every neighborhood, just yes. like Pimps Up, Hoes Down. Human trafficking. I tell people, I said, you know, they brought in Pimps Up, Hoes Down. They brought American Pimp. Snoop Dogg was a pimp. T.I. was pimping all over the world. 50 Cent had PIMP. And what happened?
Yep.
Brothers started getting locked up for human trafficking. You know, back in the 80s, what happened? You had Scarface. You had New Jack City. Everybody had Scarface on their wall. Everybody had New Jack City. You know, Nino talking about they want to take over the projects. Well, nobody talking about that prior to. Hollywood is always complicit. And now you got these young African-Americans that's impressionable, but at the same time, they're coming out with the new law, which is the 85% law and the drug law. So as soon as you catch it, you know, the way, you know, here come the law. As soon as you get into the pimping, here come the human trafficking law. Mm. And so if you think about it, in 1976, it was 250,000 people incarcerated in the United States. 50% was African-Americans.
Right.
Okay, 2025, speed it up, it's 2.5 million people incarcerated. You know who the majority is?
Black.
African-Americans. But guess what? America's only 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's incarceration. So if the majority of those are African-American, it means that 12.5% of the people are incarcerated as young African-American men here in the wilderness of North America.
Yeah.
But the irony of that, we only represent 13% of the population. And the irony of that, majority of that is old folks, women, men right. and children. So you got maybe a 6% ratio that's incarcerated that represent 6% of the people that can potentially be incarcerated in America. Out of that 6%, 12.5%, which is 12.5% of the incarceration are African Americans.
Yeah.
You know, African Americans. That is by design. So when you hear King Von and all them talking about all this stuff, it's two things. Either they're going to kill each other, they're going to go to penitentiary.
Right.
So King Von is in jail. Quano, Wando, whatever his name is, he in jail, and King Von is dead. You know, Lil Durk, that's his name?
Yep.
He in jail, and the guy they killed is dead. Right. You know, so the music is counterproductive.
Yeah.
And it's just self-destructive, you know what I'm saying, to the so-called Negro race, you know, so-called black man. So what that means? That means that my daughter now, when she was 16, I walked in the house one day, she had on some booty shorts.
Right.
I mean, her booty hanging out. This is my daughter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't going to say which one because my other one, you know, I didn't go crazy when I say the name. But one of my daughters, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that really, you know, allowed me to see how influential the music was. Because the mother is a Christian.
Yeah.
And the mother believed in Jesus and all that stuff, right? So that ain't the way they were raised.
Yeah.
But that's the way the music influenced them.
Yes.
So now when I go through my hood, I ride in Milwaukee, I ride to the hood, I see a bunch of 12-year-old girls. They twerking, you know, with the little thing they call little music
on the little tripod or on TikTok.
You got music with the little thing, the music, what they call it, a little boom box or something. So they twerking and they got makeup on, they got eyelashes on.
And doing it with their mamas.
And with their mama, and everybody catching rape cases now because they having sex with underage girls because they can't decipher, you know, because, you know, you can see, you know, makeup do wonders. I just see men that makeup, have
like
makeup.
A woman.
They be like, oh, is that a woman? You got to say, is that a woman? So imagine what they would do to a young lady that's got a body that's developed. Yep. It's going to make her look older.
Yes.
And so, but the guy don't know. He just thinking, you know, hey, this is a broad and she's switching, it's watching and everybody watching. Yeah. And
you know, something crazy about that, age thing? When you ask a woman her age, she'll say, you don't supposed to ask a woman her age. Yeah. But then you got the young girls looking older than what they are and you're telling everyone you shouldn't ask a woman her age. How counterproductive is that?
Man, you got to act like you're a security guard at the club. You got to say, let me see your ID now. Because if you don't, you know what I'm saying? One mistake. And the crazy thing about it, because of the music, because Cardi B and Sexy Red and all these girls, you know, Nicki Minaj, you know, being explicit in their music, you know, Gorilla, all of them very explicit. These young girls listen to this and they explicit and they experiencing sex way younger than, you know, when we were coming up.
For sure.
And the bad thing about that, not only is they experiencing sex at a young age, they're going to lie to you about their age.
Yes.
And then once they get pregnant, you know, the mama going to bring the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, and the Marine at your ass, and now you got a case.
Yeah, you can point at everybody but this little girl who been socially engineered, who the parents allowed this type of stuff to be happening. Now, we saw what happened to the men and their overall big picture. And because we're living it now from that music. What do you think is the overall end goal that they're aiming for with social engineering our women right now?
Well, nobody's going to save us, right? Nobody's saving African Americans, you know. And nobody is going to clean up our neighborhood. We have to, that's why we have the hip hop fraternity. Hopefully, you know, once we become extremely wealthy, we can pay people to do better music. Right. So if we give them $100 million to do what they pay Lil Wayne to do, but the opposite, the positive side of it, then all the young people be chasing that.
Right.
If we can give young girls the same money that the record label giving Glorilla and Cardi B to do something positive to clean themselves up and dress appropriately, then you know what I'm saying, they'll follow us.
Yeah.
But we have to figure it out. You know, just like I was listening to Jack Maher, and they said, Trump going to get the tariffs. They said, China going to figure it out. They said, we're going to figure out innovative ways, you know what I'm saying, to figure out how do we deal with this situation.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. You know, traditionally, when we was in slavery, we figured it out. You know, we couldn't have pork chops, so what did we have? We had pig feet and chitlins, right? We couldn't rap at the arena, so we couldn't rap in the stadium, so where we wrapped that? In the chitlin circuit.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we know how to get chitlins out of nothing.
Right.
You know, we know how to go get the hog guts and flip it. You know what I'm saying? So we got to go and figure out how do we flip the script on them. And we believe that hip-hop fraternity is the answer because never in the history of African-American experience have it been so many unified people. We got 40,000 people unified We got 38 chapters. You know, we love on each other. It's love, yeah. peace, respect. We don't hate each other. You know, it's not been one instance of violence in the hip-hop fraternity in our six-year sustainability. So we know that we can come together as a people, yes. but it's just take correct leadership. And my leadership is based on love, peace, and respect. You know, absolutely. I practice humility. You know, when I first met you, you know, you told me, hey, man, let's get out. I said, come on, man. You know, yep. I don't never, you know, act funny or trip on people. And, because my people see me in that capacity. They see me on Breakfast Club. They see me on Drink Champ. They see me on all the major platforms. But then I come and I just hang out like I'm nobody. And it starts with leadership. Yes. See, the leadership leaves his footprints clearly cut.
Yeah.
You know, let the people know that he, the leader, went that way.
Yes.
But anybody can point the way. A block of wood can point the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But very few people go the way that they point.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the key factors in us changing the mentality of these kids is us, you know, getting enough money and us supporting each other and building our network and getting stronger and, you know, retaining those capital dollars and taking that money and passing on to our children. So here, man, sign to the hip-hop fraternity, because we do have a record label. And I would love to give somebody $3-4 million to stop acting in a fool.
Exactly. And the sad part is we got those conscious female rappers out there. We got those conscious male rappers. It's just the labels decide not to put any money behind
nobody,
them.
Listen to what I'm saying. Let's look at my words. Nobody's going to save black folks.
Yeah.
You know, even if you
got to save ourselves.
And you can't blame just white people.
Right.
I always say, the white man. No, the white man is not selling hair and doing nails in our community, which is money that they're taking out of the ghetto. The white man is not selling us groceries and, you know, all kind of gas and all that stuff.
Right.
These are, it started with the Jews. The Jews came in the community and they were landlords, right? Mm-hmm. Some call them slumlords back in the early days. And they had businesses, delis and stuff like that, because I used to have a lot of Jewish friends and stuff like that. Then they got out the ghetto. They did well. They moved to better places, the jewelry stores. Those were Jews, the pawn shop. They moved to, some of them still there, but most of them moved into affluent neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the Jews left, the Chinaman came. They came with the shrimp fried rice, the egg rolls. They came with the hair bundles. They came with the nail shops.
Yep.
And then, you know, they still here. And then they found out that we were suckers, and then here come the Arabs. They took all our grocery stores. They opened up grocery stores. They opened up gas stations. And then the Indians found out about it. So the Indians came. They did the same thing, grocery store. And so what happens is we spend 98% of our wealth with other ethnic groups, and that money goes out of our community.
Right.
I ain't never seen no barbecue, turkey giveaway, a toy drive, a school drive by air business, right? But I know they take their money out and they live in the suburbs, but they take the money out the ghetto. No community can survive at that ratio, right? So we go out there and we go to the suburbs and we see a beautiful home. We say, how did they get it? Well, they got 100% of their money and 98% of your money. We only spend 2%. Of our wealth with each other. And you know what the irony is? In 1886, the eve of the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, we was only spending 2%
with them,
with ourselves.
Oh, wow. Even back
Here it is almost 200-something years later, we still only spend 2%. Everybody else's money bounced 10 or 15 times. African-American money, you know, don't bounce. They got a little Italy. They got a little Cuba. They got Greektown. They got a little Jew town. They got Arab town. They got India town. Yeah. But they ain't got no Nigeria, no little Nigeria, no little Ghana. Right. And that's what's destroying us. We're spending our money with other people. So hip-hop fraternity, not only do we want to get the money from hip hop, but we're gonna take that money and go buy back the block. So I wanna create everywhere there's an Arab store, I wanna put an African American store, and I want the brothers in the hood to protest that Arab store and tell them if you can't give away turkey, if you can't give away school supplies, then you have to move up out the neighborhood and encourage them, go shop with this brother, this sister, because they got the same stuff that's in that store. Absolutely. Wherever there's a Arab gas station, I want to put a African American business. Wherever there's a Chinese restaurant, I want to throw a soul food place right there. Wherever there's a nail shop, I want to open up an African American nail shop that's ran by some sisters and run them by our community, because they're doing more worse to us than the white man. At least the white man back in the early 50s and 60s, he didn't bother us. He said, niggas over here, white folks over there. And we had Black Wall Street. We had, North Carolina had a lot of, Black Wall Streets. Yes. You know, during North Carolina, it was doing really well in Atlanta on Auburn Avenue and over there with Martin Luther King House. So we got to go back to that.
Sure.
When people talk about, remember American Gangster?
Yeah.
Remember Frank?
Yeah, Frank Lucas.
Now, Frank Lucas, he was from North Carolina, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
But people don't understand, North Carolina was segregated. New York was integrated.
Yes.
New York was, it was a little progressive. Mm-hmm. But that killed African Americans.
Right.
But Frank Lucas came from a segregated community, so he knew about going and shopping with the plug.
Right.
They bought their bread from the plug. They bought their food from the plug. Mm-hmm. They bought their gas from the plug. So when he went over to China to deal with the plug, that's just what they did in the South. They deal with the plug. So the New Yorkers couldn't understand how he was so advanced and how he had the audacity to go over to China and get his work directly from the China.
Right.
Well, we always did that prior to 1954, Brown versus the Board of Education, where we start segregating, we start integrating. Yeah. Integration killed us. That's why Martin Luther King said, I believe I led my people into a burning house. So the answer to your question is, we have to separate. You know what I'm saying? As a community, as a people, but we have to separate business. Because in every scenario where I seen, it was a black organization, the white person got in there, the white person always took over, because for some reason we think the white man, a boo-boo don't stink.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Or the white woman, boo-boo don't stink.
Yeah.
The NAACP, that was all African-Americans. Now it's predominantly white.
Yep. Very true. Now, I also wanted to ask you, recently Diddy got the 4 years. I wanted to get your insight on that. But, interestingly enough, he got the 4 years, but his sex trafficking was dismissed. They said it wasn't any coercion. It wasn't forced. His RICO was dismissed, but he still got those 4 years. And also, on the other hand, nothing happened to Cassie when she was a ringleader in it all as well.
Yeah, she was a co-conspirator, right? But the thing was, it's not about...
Point Podcast. More than the pod, it's a lifestyle.